Welcome back to Strength for the Journey. Thank you for joining us again. Tonight we're going to be discussing some more secrets from the Garden of Eden and how there are some interesting connections between the Garden of Eden and the commands that God gave Adam and the conditions of our heart and the soil of our heart and what the command that initially God gave Adam, which was to guard or keep the garden and to dress it or till it. And so this is some of the things we're going to be discussing tonight, and I think you're going to enjoy the program. We're still working on our crusade, which is coming up the end of November. We have roughly 6 cities across Panama that we'll be holding and conducting various meetings, anywhere from open-air meetings out in the squares of various towns. We'll be going into schools, colleges, high schools. We're looking at possibly doing meetings inside of a mall, which will be exciting, and maybe going to a children's hospital. So there's a few more things in the works and places we're going to be going. We're after souls. We want to reach the hearts of man, and we want to go where people are. We don't want to feel like anybody's going to be left out because they had to go inside of a building or someplace. Jesus went out to the people. He went out to the people, and that's what one thing we're going to focus on in this crusade is we want to go to the people, and we want to reach the lost, and that's the people are out in the public place, and that's where we're going to be. So we're excited about this. Again, our website is strength4thejourney.com, and there's a Spanish version called Fuerza para el Viaje. And that's .com as well. There's a link at the bottom of the homepage on Strength for the Journey that you can click on if you have Spanish-speaking friends or neighbors that would like to see the website in Spanish. There's also a button on Strength for the Journey that you can translate the website into just roughly about any language of the world. There's already been about 45 nations around the world have viewed Strength for the Journey, and that's amazing how God can take a little website and transfer it all the way around the world. So it's just exciting that God is reaching many, many people and encouraging people with the word of truth and the word of God. And we're excited about the opportunities God is opening up here in Panama. And there's many hungry people. I came from a land of full people and people weren't hungry. But it's very exciting to come to a land where people are hungry. And I know that people are hungry out there in the world, and they're looking for a word of encouragement and some truth that they can sink their teeth in and live and walk it out. And that's what this program is about, is to reach people with the truth, share my experiences in my own walk with the Lord, and some of the interesting revelations God has been giving me lately in His Word. When I came here, we didn't know anybody. I still don't know the language very well, but we're learning. But when we stepped out in faith and we went someplace that was out of obedience, and God just said, "Leave and I'll show you," and we left, and this is where He showed us to come, and the doors have opened up wide. God has a big plan for this place, and I know He's got a big plan for your life as well. And the place that you will find God's plan in your life is in your obedience to Him. And one of the things that it takes is an obedient heart for God's word to land into, that when He does speak to you, you will obey. When Jesus spoke to the multitudes out there, His words didn't always fall on hungry ears, and His word fell sometimes on many hard hearts. And that's why John the Baptist said, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord," because there was going to be, the Word was going to be made flesh and was going to stand before them and speak the Word. And if their hearts weren't prepared yet for the words that God had for them, that they would find a hard surface to land on and they would not penetrate. And these are some of the things that we're going to speak about tonight, is the connections that there was with the first early command of God to Adam in the garden and how it correlates to God's commands to us today, and how there's a similarity and a connection between the Garden of Eden and our hearts. And the first scripture that I want to bring up here is Genesis 2:15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat it, for in the day that thou eat thereof thou shalt surely die." So God put him in the garden, and he was told to dress it, or this is why he was there, to dress it and to keep it. And we talked about this the last program. The Hebrew word for dress is abad, and that means to work or to till that garden, or dress the soil, or dress the Garden of Eden. And the second word that he was given a command to do was to keep the garden. And the Hebrew word for that word that we get, the word keep, is shamar. And that means to hedge about or to guard. And it even went to the point that it said to hedge about with as a hedge of thorns, as with thorns around it. So there was something that it needed to be guarded from. And we talked about what was that to be guarded from, and it was the enemy that was outside looking to steal. The thief comes at naught but to steal, kill, and destroy. And there was a thief there that wanted to steal something from Adam. And again, we talked about this last week, about how what he stole from Adam was, he first of all stole the word, the command. The command was not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so what did he do when he first came to man, to Eve? He said, "Hath God said that thou shalt not eat of every tree of the garden?" And so he tried to put doubt in the minds of man. And the doubt was to steal the word, steal the command that God gave Adam. And when they bit the bait and had a conversation with the devil, which is a pretty dumb idea for any of us to have a conversation with a liar, because all we're going to do is get ourselves in trouble if we have a conversation with a liar. So he had a conversation, they fell, and they lost many things in that when they fell. He lost a relationship, he lost his authority, he lost his place, his position of authority. He lost many things. And this is what the enemy's always trying to still do today. He's trying to steal everything that God has given us. And we have to understand what it is that we're trying to guard. So when we go back to the Garden of Eden, and then we come back to now, there's another garden that God kind of describes, or Jesus describes in Luke. And he talks about the sower of the seed that went out to sow the seed. And when he explains it in Luke 11, he said, "Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then comes the devil and takes the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved." So there's an enemy that is trying to steal God's words out of us too. And we have to guard and preserve every word that God speaks to us. Jesus said that man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And that word that's translated from is the word rhema, which means an utterance, that it literally is something that comes out of the mouth. And so this is what Satan essentially wants to do with us. He wants to steal, like he did. He stole the relationship with Adam. And when we have a relationship, we begin to know the voice of somebody. And if you don't know what God said, how do you know when you've been lied to? If you don't know the truth, how can you distinguish the truth from a lie? Jesus said that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And most people today are in bondage to lies because they don't know the truth. You know, in the Old Testament, when it talked about the word know, and Adam knew his wife, they were talking about an intimate relationship that Adam had with his wife. They became one, and the two became one, and they became fruitful. And this is one of the things that God commanded even Adam and Eve, to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. So when they knew each other, they became fruitful in their lives. And if you don't know the truth, then you will believe a lie. And if we have an intimate relationship with the truth, the way, the truth, and life, who is Jesus, then we will be guarded from lies because we know the voice of the Master. And to know the truth is more than just simply acknowledging the truth. Many people think that just because they acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, or they acknowledge as a historical fact that Jesus died on the cross for their sins, they believe that they are saved just by acknowledging a truth. Well, the Bible says that the devils believe and tremble. So what does it really mean to know the truth? What does it really mean to believe the truth? I believe that in order to be married, know the truth, we need to be married to the truth. And as you would knowing your spouse, that we need to become so one that anything that comes along in our pathway, that we distinguish a truth from a lie. There should be an intimacy, there must be really an intimacy between us and the truth. That's what the Lord desired with Adam. If he had intimately known the Lord, he wouldn't have been drawn away by the father of lies. If we don't know, if we don't have an intimacy with Jesus, the truth, we will end up loving a lie, the father of lies. Deception begins with a hardness, and hardness begins with pride. This is why we have to till our garden. This is why we have to break the hardened ground of our hearts, because our pride ends up hardening our hearts. And what happens is where the Bible talks in Luke chapter 8 that if there's not soft soil for the seed to be implanted in our heart, it says the fowls of the air came and they ate the seed, just prior to Luke 8:11, where he described the parable of the sower of the seed. But the fowl of the air cannot see a seed that's buried under the soil. They can only see a seed that's on top of the soil. And this is why it's so important for us that we dress our garden, just like Adam was told to till or to dress the garden. There was something that was lacking that in his relationship, that when Satan came to him and said, "Hath God said," or to Eve, it said that the Bible says that it was she gave of the fruit or to Adam with her. So it sure sounds like he was right there with her when all these things were happening. So I don't give him a pass because his wife came along later and said, "Oh, here, have a bite of this apple." It says that he was with her. So when the enemy came along to him and said, "Hath God said," if he knew the truth, he should have just said, "Yes, God said. This is what God said. I was there. This is what he said." And so many of us today are void of the truth. So many Christians today don't even read their Bible. They don't even know what the Lord's voice sounds like because they don't even know what to identify it with. God's Word is Rhema is going to be the same voice as the Logos. The Logos is described as a written word or something that has been said in the past, and that's what we see as our Bible. And so the Rhema of God is going to be the same voice as the voice that was that the recordings are in the Bible. So if you don't ever pick up your Bible, how are you ever going to know that you can identify the Rhema of God when he speaks to our heart today? So this is why it's so important that we got to guard ourselves. We have to till our soil. We have to guard from the words of the enemy. Because we need his word to be impregnated and to be buried in the soil of our heart, that the enemy cannot find it. You know, David, King David said something that is so powerful in Psalm 119:11. He said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you." He knew that there was an enemy out there that was looking to steal the word out of his heart. So he hid the word in his heart because he did not want to sin against God. His heart was so desiring to please God that he did not want to sin against him, didn't want to do anything wrong that would offend his best friend, his friend. And this is the kind of relationship that God wants with us, is he wants us to be his friend. And a friend would never want to harm somebody else, would never want to offend somebody else. It's a demonstration of our love. There is a song that I'd like to play here. It's called "I Give You My Heart." And as you listen to this song, I want you to just kind of think of it this way. Is maybe your garden right now is full of weeds. Maybe that's just been overrun. It hasn't been guarded. It hasn't been tilled. There's no fruit bearing in it. And it just seems to be a mess right now. And just say, "Lord, I give you my garden. Take this heart and just, I lay it down before you just to do what you need to do in it. If you have to turn the whole thing over and start over again, I just give you my heart because I want to start my garden over. I want to have some fresh soil to plant your words in because my heart, I feel like my heart's been hardened to you and I just don't have that relationship I once had, or I've never had a relationship with you, but I desire that. That's something I really want." So as you listen to this song, just say, "Lord, I give you my heart.
This is my
pray, in me. Lord, take this mess of a garden in my life and just do what only you can do, Lord. Take this stony heart of mine and just till the ground, Lord, so that there's a place for your word to land in it and become fruitful in my life. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." That word "keep" is the same. It's a root word to guard. It means to keep, or not sorrow, the Hebrew word, but it means to guard, to protect, to maintain, to obey. So there is a keeping of our heart that we have to always be on guard for, because there's all sorts of things that are trying to enter it. Because if the enemy can put stuff in our heart, it's going to steal those issues of life that want to come out of it. And we have to make sure that what goes in it is what we want to come out of it. That there's so many connections between what's inside of our heart. It says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's abundant inside of our heart is going to come out of our mouth. You know, if you're trying to, I remember when I first got saved, I was really trying to clean up my life and trying to really act more like a way a Christian should act. And I remember a couple of my friends that had not got saved yet, they were talking about me and how I'd become a Christian. One guy was saying that how I'd become a Christian, and this other fella said, "Yeah, some Christian he is, you ought to hear him talk." And my mouth was so foul before I gotten saved. And when I heard that, it came back to me. My friend told me what this other guy said. And I thought, you know what? I've got to get my mouth cleaned up. And when I saw that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, I started realizing that maybe those words that was coming out of my mouth, was that stuff was down inside my heart. So I just said, "Lord, take this stuff out of my heart. I don't want it in my heart anymore." And I remember one time shortly thereafter, and God was just really cleaning up this mess. And I remember I was working on a car, and something had just smashed my finger. And normally all sorts of foul words might have come out of my mouth. And I remember I just kind of grimaced in pain. And after I kind of got done just like holding my hand and just, I remember I thought, "Wow, nothing came out of my mouth." And I thought, "Wow, God's cleaning up my heart." So I was really excited that God was doing something inside of me. It wasn't just an action, or I'm doing something on the surface, trying to clean up my life on the surface. I wanted God to go down deep down inside of me and clean out what was wrong inside my heart. And I think if all of us will examine our hearts, we'll find that that's where the real root issues are. There's a article that I wrote called "Are We Wax Free?" And if you go to Strength for the Journey, strength with the number 4, thejourney.com, and click on the Articles tab, you'll find an article there called "Are We Wax Free?" And I talk about how our hearts are like Command Central, and I think you might find that interesting and it may bring some revelation about how important it is that we guard our hearts. There's an enemy out there that's always looking to sow seeds in our garden, in our hearts, and we have to be always protecting and always guarding against those lies and against the deception of the enemy. You know, if a man doesn't know the voice of the Lord, how will he know the words or whether they were really from him? That's why it's so important to know the Lord. When we know the Lord, we are married to him. We have an intimate relationship with him. And we know his voice, and knowing his voice, we know the words are from him, and they are genuine, and no voice from hell can steal those words away from us. No hath God said, no putting doubts in our minds. He was always trying to steal those words. He's always out there. He's relentless. He never gives up. Just remember, he's a liar, and he's the father of it. He's here to steal, kill, and destroy. You know, the first pitfall that man had was he had a conversation with a liar. the response to a liar should always be, yes, God said. But we never know what God says unless we know his voice, we know him. You know, Jesus knew better than to give the devil any time to have a conversation with him. He simply just spoke the truth back to him. And when the devil said, if you're the Son of God, essentially prove it, you know, do what I say to do. And all Jesus had to say, I am. You know, because he was the truth, so truth just came right out of his mouth. You know, the I am doesn't have to prove anything to a liar. The I am knows who he is, and he knows the devil is a liar. He knows he was the Word made flesh. And when we know the truth, the Word made flesh, we become intimate with him, and then we are one with the truth as well. You know, Satan always wants to come, and he wants us to embrace, and take hold of a lie. And we just have to remember that he's just there to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan wants us to believe him instead of God. He's like the waves on the shore. He's always just pounding, just like grinding, trying to grind us as a rock on the shore to sand. He just wants us to be just littered along the beach like sand, just as a relentless coming. And that's why we have to stand strong on the truth and not let those waves just wear us down. You know, just because we're victorious one day doesn't mean that we'll always be victorious if we don't hang on. You know, Jesus, when Satan came to tempt Jesus in the wilderness, it said that he left him, departed him for a season. But he came back because he wasn't going to quit. He wasn't going to try to give up with his lies. You know, if one lie doesn't work, you know, there's always another one he'll try. You know, there's only one truth, but there's many lies. He's crafty and subtle. You know, like a burglar, he doesn't need every window and every door unlocked in your house. He only needs to find one place of access to steal the contents of a person's home. You know, he only needs one. He's always looking for one place of access in our lives, and that's why it's so important. And Ephesians 4:27 says, give no place to the devil. You know, anyone who grows a garden knows as soon as the garden has been weeded, more weeds appear. You know, I just sit there, just mind boggles me sometimes when you see how you've been tilling this garden and trying to just keep the weeds out. You get all the weeds and you picked it all clean, and then you water the garden again, and then 2 or 3 days later, you're going, where in the world these weeds just keep coming up? And that's the way the enemy is always blowing lies into our life. He's always blowing weeds in our garden, and we just can't give place to them. We just have to constantly be keeping and guarding and dressing our garden, because those weeds are always going to be blowing in there. You know, the weeds do nothing but draw precious nutrients out of the soil, and that's what he's trying to do in our life. And he's always trying to steal the nutrients in our life, the time and the energy of our life. Instead of us focusing and putting it in places it should go, he's trying to draw those things away. He's trying to draw our hearts to the things of this world, the things below instead of the things above. And I want to play another song here, and I think you'll enjoy it. It's called A Beautiful Exchange. And this is some things that we need to do now. We need to exchange some of the things that the things of this world in our life, in our heart, and just ask God to exchange those things for his things from above. So enjoy this song. Thank you. He wants us to exchange our love for His love. He wants us to exchange our power for His power. He wants us to exchange our abilities for His ability. He wants us to exchange our life for His life. And the exchange is a beautiful exchange because we're the ones that get the better end of the deal. His exchange far surpasses everything that we already own. Everything that we own, we're going to leave behind. Only what He does in our life will ever remain. This is why it's so important that we yield to Him and let Him put the seeds that He wants to put in our garden. But we have to humble ourselves. We have to break the hardened ground in our hearts and allow His words to be planted in our heart. If John the Baptist was here today and he was saying, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord," would you be ready when he speaks, when he was there standing in front of you and says, "This is what I want you to do"? Would you be like the rich young ruler who walked away when he gave him the command to go sell what you have and give to the poor and come follow me? Would you hang your head down and say, "Oh, that's too much, I can't do that, that's more than I can give up"? Or would you say, I'm ready, Lord. I've prepared my heart for you. I've prepared the soil of my heart, and I'm ready to obey. What is it you want me to do with my life? What is it you want of me?" Well, he wants to make this exchange first, because as long as we're still alive, as long as we still have our own life, and we're still sitting on the throne of our life, there's no place for him to sit. There's no place for him to come and rule. You know, this is when Adam was in the garden, it shows that there was a king, because there's one that gave him a command that he shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He commanded him. And so it shows that he was over him. He was an authority over man by the command. You don't give someone a command if you're not in authority over them. So it proved that there was a one in authority. So his domain was the garden. This was his realm of authority, his place. And God was the king. And the domain was the garden. And the subject was Adam. So this was the kingdom, essentially. There was a kingdom on earth right there, because there was a king. Kingdom is just a word, two words put together, king and a domain. And there was a king and a domain, and there was a subject. But the problem was that the subject was not subjected to his kingship. And so he failed in following the command. And this is where God is trying to come back into our lives to say, "Will you let me be king of your life? Would you let me reign in your heart? Would you let me plant my words in the soil of your heart so that your life will become fruitful? That there'll be something grown in your garden, in your life?" If our hearts are still hard, if there's still stones all over our garden, if we still have all the things of this world growing in our garden, because there was another type of soil that not only the type of, they called by the wayside, that heard and the devil came and stole the word out of their hearts, there were also those that heard, but they fell upon a rock. And it said they received the word with joy, but they had no root. And for a while, they believed. But in a time of temptation, they fell away. And there was another type in which the seeds fell amongst thorns. And there was for they which heard, and they went forth. But they were choked out with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life, and they brought no fruit to perfection. So is there things in your heart that you just need to let God just take them out? Just say, "God, just take this stuff out. The world has offered nothing to me that has ever been fruitful in my life." When I look back in my life before I knew the Lord, I look back and I think about every effort, everything I put my hand to do, there was nothing that produced any long-term fruit in my life. It always just seemed to be just a garden of thorns and weeds. And it wasn't until I gave the Lord all of my heart that his words finally found a place to land. And then he changed me from the inside out because I had to open the door to my heart to let him in. He needs a domain. He needs a place to rule from. You know, there's interesting that I always thought about this scripture and that Jesus said, it's Luke chapter 17, verse 21. And it says, "Neither shall they say, 'Lo here,' or 'Lo there,' for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." And I thought, what in the world does that mean, the kingdom of God? I thought it's like a place. It's a, you know, like here on this earth or in heaven, or what in the world does he mean that the kingdom of God is within you? And when I started really realizing that a king just needs a place to live, and when you ask Jesus into your heart and you make him Lord of your life, you ask him to sit on the throne of your life, you're giving him the authority to make decisions in your life and to let him rule from that throne room place in your heart. And the Greek word for kingdom is basileia. It means to rule, reign, or a realm. And that reign and that rule and that realm is inside of us. And we just have to yield to his leadership and his rulership and his kingship. Because if we're still sitting on the throne, we're still making decisions for ourselves with our own life, and we want to still do things our way and not his way, there will not be a place that's fruitful. Our lives, we can look back and say, you know, my life has just been fruitless. And I believe that now more than ever, we need to really hear from God. We need to be obedient because the world is changing right now. There are so many things that are happening in this world all the way around us. Whether you live in the United States and you're listening to this program, or you live somewhere overseas, the whole world is going to change. And I believe it's going to change very soon. There's many things that are going to happen. And if you have your hope in the things of this world, if you have your hope in your bank account, if you have your hope in your IRA or 401k, there's going to be some shaking, and God is going to, the world's going to be shaken, and everything that cannot be shaken, or everything that can be shaken, will be shaken. And he's going to show us who our God is. And our problem is that we think that the Lord is Lord of our life. But if he couldn't ask us to do anything and we would obey, then he's really not Lord of our life. If he can't tell us whatever he wants to say to us and we say, yes, sir, then we really still are Lord of our own life. And we have to just surrender, say, Lord, you are God in my life. You know what's best for me. I trust you. I trust your integrity. I trust your character. I trust your love for me, that you died for me, and you have a purpose and you have a plan for me. And I trust that you know what's best. And I'm not going to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil anymore. I'm not going to decide for myself what I think is good and evil, what I think is right and wrong, what I think is even best for my life. I know you know what's best for my life. And I'm going to quit eating from that tree. I'm going to leave it right there in the middle of that garden. I'm going to leave that thing alone, because every time I try to eat from that tree and figure it out and do the things the way I want to do it, it just doesn't seem to go right. So I'm going to yield to you now, and I'm going to surrender all to you now. And I want you to listen to the song. I think you're going to really enjoy it. It's called I Surrender. So I just leave you this word that as you listen to the song, just find a place of worship and just surrender all.
Here I am, down on my knees again, surrendering all, surrendering all. And find me here, Lord, as you draw me near, I'm desperate. Desperate for you.
Thank you.
Lord, have your way with me. Lord, I just give you my garden right now. I give you my heart, Lord, every bit of it. Do only what you can do. I've made a mess of my life, but I know you can make something out of it now. So, Father, just take all of my life, take all of my heart. I know this is many people, they struggle with giving the Lord all of their heart. They only want to give him a piece of their heart. And the whole key to having a successful, fulfilled life is to give the Lord all of your heart. Don't lay on your deathbed and say, I wonder if I'd given the Lord all of my heart, whether my life might have gone the way I wanted it to. Don't wait to that point to make that total commitment, that total decision. Do it now, and God will do amazing things in your life. Thank you for being with us today on Strength for the Journey. I hope you enjoyed the program, and we'll see you next week.